This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 24, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 19, verse 24. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America. We have the word and intercessory prayer. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. Excuse me. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's produce place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 19, verse 24. This was a pretty long chapter, so I didn't get to complete it last time, so we'll pick it up where we left off. We entitled it, With God's Leadership, Left is Not Right. So, to give you a little recap, a man named Sceva and his seven sons had seen Paul the Apostle cast out devils by the name of Jesus. So they decided to try it too, but they could not. The reason is, Sceva's name means left-handed. There's nothing wrong with being left-handed. Actually, it means with many varied talents. I'm a left-handed. But what it means is they're not on the right side of God. In other words, Sceva did not believe that Jesus is Messiah. Neither did his seven sons. So Sceva becomes a type of the about-to-appear Antichrist. He's not Christ. He's not against Christ. He's going to pretend to be Christ. He's instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. His seven sons, since there are seven continents on the earth, represent the political system of the Antichrist right now operating in America. They are the leftist, socialist, communist, Marxist party. They're also China, and they're also Iran and other places. So we have left is not right. Now we're going to pick it up right there.
24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana.
Now, we happen to have a Demetrius in our audience, so Demetrius, this is not you. Demetrius' name in the Greek means loyal to the leader. Now, he was a silversmith, and he made these little statues to the goddess Diana. Now, Diana was called the many-breasted god. They thought she was God. Now, see, everything the devil does, he imitates God, because the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ is also called El Shaddai, which means our many-breasted God. Of course, God doesn't have breasts. He's a spirit. It means our God has ample supply to feed all of his children forever and ever. So we've got this silversmith, Demetrius. He is the second witness of the seven sons of Sceva. He's a part of the left socialist, communist, Marxist party of the Antichrist, preparing the way for their daddy, the devil. And that's Sceva, and that is the goddess Diana. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Brought no small gain to the craftsman.
He got a lot of money for selling those little statues.
25. Who he called together with like occupation.
Okay, he calls all the craftsmen together.
And said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. 26. Moreover, you see in here, not only in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying, there be no gods which are made with hands.
So he says, this apostle Paul is turning people away from buying our statues. They're saying, God's not made by hand.
27. So that not only this, our craft is in danger, to be set at naught.
We're going to be $0.
But that also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised.
Methinks Demetrius wasn't worried about Diana. I think he was worried about his pocketbook. Just follow the money trail.
And her magnificence should be destroyed.
Remember, she's many-breasted, so you don't want to destroy that.
Whom all Asia and the world worshipeth.
Revelation chapter 13 says, when the Antichrist appears, and he's about to appear, the whole world will worship him, even half of the body of Christ, Matthew chapter 25. And the only ones that will not worship him will be the 7,000 elect of God alive right now on earth. So the whole worship was worshiping Diana. The whole world is going to worship the Antichrist, even half the body of Christ, five are wise, five are foolish, except you. You know the difference.
28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. And they cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
This was not a peaceful protest. This was mob violence.
29. And the whole city was filled with confusion.
God is not the author of confusion. Anytime people are mobbing and rioting and burning down buildings and businesses and destroying things, that is not God. The devil is in the detail.
Amen. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia and Paul's companions.
Okay, they're going to capture two of Paul's Christian friends, Gaius and Aristarchus, and probably kill them.
Travel. They rushed with one accord to the theater. 30. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people.
Now, Paul was going to go there and preach Jesus.
The disciples suffered him not. 31. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater.
In other words, they loved him. It's too dangerous, Paul. Don't go in there. They might kill you.
32. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused.
You see, when there's a mob like that, half of the people don't even know what the other is going to say.
And the more part knew whither they will come together.
And all of these riots that are going on, half of those people screaming bloody murder, they don't know what they're saying. Confusion. That's the devil, not God.
33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude.
Now here's another man. They're going to capture him.
Eudas putting him forward.
Now, the word Jew is totally incorrect. In Greek, it's Eudas. It should have been Judah, J-U-D-A-H. Remember, it either means our beloved brother Judah, whom we love very much, one of the 12 tribes, or resident of Judea, or those who say they're Judah but are not, the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Now, this happens to be our brother Judah.
And Alexander, beckoning with his hand, would have made his defense unto the people.
He's going to say, I'm not doing anything to Diana.
34. But when they knew he was an Eudas, all with one voice for the space of about 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
Why did they do that? Because they knew that even if some of our brother Judah have not accepted Yeshua Jesus as the Messiah, they still believe there's just one God, Yahweh, YHVH. So see, they were making fun of him, saying, God is his, Diana, our God is his God.
35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people.
Now there's a town clerk going to step up and try to get some peace and order here.
He said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess, Diana, and of the image that fell down from Jupiter.
Now, Jupiter is also called Zeus, and he's called the king. He's like God. In Greek mythology, they believe that Jupiter, or Zeus, sent down a stone on earth, and it became goddess Diana. See how the devil imitates everything? God sent his son, Jesus, and he's the rock of ages.
36. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly.
In other words, everybody be quiet. You know, it's so beautiful because our beloved President Donald Trump went to all the blue state Democratic places where they're having these riots, the mayors and governors, and said, I'll help you bring peace and order. I'll send in the National Guard. Some of them would let him and some would not. So everything ought to be done decently and in order. Sometimes it's just time for somebody to say, be quiet.
Amen.
37. When you brought forth these men, which are not the robbers of churches.
These men you're capturing here, they're not criminals.
Neither yet blasphemers of your goddess. 38. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen that are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and they have deputies and judges there.
In other words, take it to the court. Do it legally.
Let them implead one another. 39. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly.
Paul would later write, let all things be done decently and in order. God is not the author of confusion. Everything ought to be in order.
40. For we're in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar.
Why did he say that? Because the Roman soldiers were nearby and they didn't have any respect for anybody's religion, so they could have come and arrested them.
There being no cause whereby we may give an account for this concourse. 41. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly.
And everybody went home. Now God used this man, he was not even a Christian, to save the life of Paul and his Christian friends. God protects his elect. So we see, left is not right. Now we come to the real lesson tonight.
Acts chapter 20, verse 1.
From God's heart, to my heart, to your heart. Wake up and walk up to the third level. Wake up and walk up to the third level.
Amen.
One, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia.
He had founded many churches in Macedonia, so he wanted to go and check on them and encourage them.
Verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation,
encouragement,
he came into Greece. 3, and there abode 3 months. And when the Euodias laid wait for him.
Okay, this word Jew is still Judah, Euodias in the Greek, but it's not our beloved brother Judah. We love our brother Judah. They're not a murderer. This would be those who say they're Judah but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Who are they? They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil who beguiled Eve in the garden. That will come up later in the teaching.
As he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return from Macedonia.
He says, I'm coming back to see you.
4, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and the Thessalonian, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius, of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Picapus, and Trophimus.
Okay, these are people, Christians, who are going with him to preach the word. Actually, they go on before him and prepare the way.
5, these going before tarried for us and tell us. 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread.
That would be Passover. Now remember, Jesus has already died, arisen from the dead, and gone back to heaven. These are Christians now, and they're still having Passover. You see, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Instead of Easter, that is a blatant mistake. We already studied that here. It should be Passover. In other words, that's the right word to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not Easter. That's a pagan goddess of fertility. So Paul is celebrating Passover, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb.
Amen.
And came unto them at Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread.
Okay, now they're going to have the Lord's table, the Eucharist, the Lord's body. In other words, the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus. We have that here periodically.
Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue his speech until midnight.
Now he preached until midnight because he's going to leave the next day. When people are of one accord, there is no time. You're in the spirit. And so it's a long sermon, but nobody's tired. Now keep the word midnight in your mind.
8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together.
Now, everyone in there was enlightened, because Paul had the anointing of Jesus Christ. The anointing means Jesus paints himself on you, and he had the word, and the word is the light. Now, Paul is in a building that is 3 stories high. There's the bottom level, there's the second level, and there's the third level. In other words, 1, 2, 3. Now, in God's kingdom, a church is not a building. You are the building of God. And Christians start out as a baby Christian. They go to the second level, hopefully. And now tonight we want you to come to the third level, just like in your flesh body. When God sent you from himself and put you in your mother's womb and you were born, you were a little baby on the first level. You were on the floor on a blanket. Weren't you cute? But a little baby is the most self-centered little thing you've ever seen. All it says is, me bottle, me diaper, me hungry, me hug. In other words, me, me, me. But that's okay. It's a baby. But if it stays a baby, that's going to be bad, isn't it? Now, when you got saved, even if you were 60 or 70 or 40 or 20 or 15, you were what we call a milk bottle Christian. That's good. You were baby Christian. And all you knew was, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. That is so great. And you said, oh, he loves me. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me a new house. God, give me some new clothes. Well, I have found that God kind of pets a new Christian, kind of answers your prayers. Jesus said, okay, the birds of the field, of the air, have a nest, so I'll give you a house. The lilies are clothes, so I'll give you some new clothes. Okay, now let's go back to the little baby on the blanket. Okay, the little baby finally begins to walk, and it starts to go to the second level, and its mommy takes him to kindergarten, and he sees, my Lord, there are other people in the world. It's not just me, myself, and I. And mommy has put 2 cupcakes in his lunch basket, and his daddy has given him 2 toy trucks. And he sees somebody else, and he says, you want one of my cupcakes? You want one of my toy trucks? Oh, look, he stepped up to the second level. He'll even become a teenager. But even as a teenager, he's still not totally doing the best he can do, but he's growing. Now, let's go back to you, Christian. You right there, you are just saved. And so you say, wait a minute. When I go to church, there's somebody else there. It's not just about me, that I'm the only person in the world God loves. And you hear another Christian say, I'm so sick. And another one say, I need some money. And so you say, oh, I prayed, God heals me. May I pray for you? I needed some money. God gave me some money. May I pray for you? And you even invite them to church. Now you're doing really, really, really good. Now let's go back to the teenager on the second level. The teenager finally grows up, and now he's not a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. Now I've become a grown man, I put away childish things. Now, mama and daddy no longer buy his cupcakes or his trucks. He buys his own cupcakes and he buys his own trucks, and hopefully he gives some of them away. Now, you the Christian on second level there. Okay, you've been enjoying yourself there, the first level there, the second level. And now you say, all right, let's see, on the second level, we learn Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Okay, you agree with that. You're on the second level. But then you read Genesis chapter 1:2. And the earth was without form and void. Now, wait a minute. You know void means nothing. If God created it, it's got to be something. Wait a minute. I got to find out what this means. and you begin to seek the Lord. Or when you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. So now you're climbing up to the floor where Paul is. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So then God will put a Paul before your path. The person will be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they will tell you the word of God. Now you're going to get some answers. On this third level, you're going to hear what everybody must hear before you can be in heaven on earth. The mystery of God. The mystery of God is number one. There was a first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. There was a world before this one. Mystery number two, the seduction in the garden. Mystery number three, the fallen angels. Mystery number four, the Passover lamb. Mystery number five, the order of the trumps. So your Paul teaches you now on the third level. All right, let's go to the first earth age. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was. And you find out, whoo, there was a beautiful cherub there. He was so good. His name was Lucifer, means morning star. He was anointed. He was wise. He was beautiful. He was a great musician. And Ezekiel says he walked among the stones of fire. Fire is God. Our God's a consuming fire. Who are the stones? Lord, have mercy. You find out that's you. Because Peter says you are living stones. A stone is a jewel. Malachi tells you you are the stones, the jewels of God. That means you were there. But wait a minute, you say. When I was on the second level, I found out reincarnation is a lie. You're right, reincarnation is a lie. But you weren't there in a flesh body. You learned that Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, if the silver cord breaks, ere you kick the bucket, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you were there before. You find out we were all with God. Job 38, remember you, Job, when the morning stars sang together. Stars, children of God, minus the flesh. Revelation 12, the angels, not wings, children of God, minus the flesh. And so you say, wow, I was there. We were all there. There was no age. There was no death. There was nothing. We're praising God. There was no sin. But then you say, Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I will be God. And he overthrew God's kingdom and he betrayed God. And then you get your answer to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. God got so upset at the betrayal, God shook the earth. The word was, the earth was without form and void, was in that would be Hebrew, tuhu vabuhu. The word became without form and void. God shook it. And then you learn that Lucifer deceived one third of God's children. Some of you hearing my voice were those, and they followed Satan, betrayal. One third sat there like a knot on a log, lukewarm. That's even worse. Jesus can't stand lukewarm. It makes him vomit. He vomits you out of his mouth. But Revelation 12 says there was one third there, remember, children minus the flesh and our spirit body, who got up, Revelation 12, and fought that old dragon, Lucifer, serpent, devil, Satan, Antichrist. Boy, this is bad. This is treason in heaven. In other words, the wages of sin is death. So God had a judgment. Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Everybody was found not guilty. You're learning this on the third level. Except that one third, they were justified. So God said, okay, I should destroy all of these traitors, but I love my children. I know they've been deceived. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make man in your own image. To whom was God talking? God said, let us make man our image. God is Elohim, God of the angels. He was talking to you. He said, let us make you like in the flesh, man in the flesh, in the same character, whether you betrayed me, whether you didn't stand up for me, or whether you fought for me. And he said, I'm going to send you, I'm going to clean up and send you into the second earth age. All this may be forgotten. And I'm coming to, God says, before the foundation of the earth. Jesus says, I will be the Passover lamb. Jesus said, I'll go in a body too, and I'll pay you sin debt so you can all be forgiven. So there we have it. Now, we're all coming through in the flesh. Why did those poor little people who did not betray him have to come? Ephesians 1, 4. Chosen from before the foundation of the earth. I need you to go, my son. I need you to go, my daughter, because they don't know. They need the truth. They're not getting the truth. They need the whole truth. And so we sent them out in every generation, very elect right here at the end. All right, now that's mystery number one. Mystery number two, you're on the third level. Paul is teaching you, somebody by the type of Paul, and you learn the mystery number two, the seduction in the garden. So, God fixes the Garden of Eden, and man in the flesh. Now, in Genesis 1, verse 26, he says, he made male and female, made he them. That word, Adam, is not a man's name. It means in the Hebrew, mankind in general. What would that be? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. All the races. Genesis 1, the last verse says that God said it's very good. God's an artist. He loves all the color. Good and good and good. So we all these pretty colors. Hallelujah. Now, but in Genesis 2, God said, I need a farmer to till the soil. I need someone with a special pedigree through whom I can send my son to pay the sin debt. So he created a special man, Hebrew, Eth Ha'adam, the man Adam. And he took from his curve, curvy Eve. Now, before Eve and Adam could get together as man and wife, remember, Jesus is coming through that lineage, there was the Garden of Eden, and there was a tree of life. That was Jesus. But there was another tree. You're learning this from the third level. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the serpent. He was not a snake. It's a figure of speech. He's called dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, but he's just low down like a snake. So Adam and Eve have not been together yet as man or a wife. And Eve looks at him and says, whew, you're good looking. You're desirable. She's getting a groove up there. And she said, but God told me not to touch you. Touch in the Hebrew is naga. It means not to lie in a sexual act. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, that old cherub, yes, they have substance. He said, come on, noggle with me. So she noggled with him, and he got her pregnant with Cain, the seed of the serpent. The serpent is not a snake, it's a devil, a cherub. Yes, they have substance. And that, if that weren't bad enough, then Adam, she says, you do it too. So he noggled with the devil, the first homosexual act. But then Adam got it right, looked at Eve and said, oh, that's how you do this. So he went in unto Eve and got her pregnant with Abel. Now she was pregnant with twins. See, fraternal twins are twins. They can be by two different fathers within a very short time. Cain was a devil's child, the Kenites. They say they're Judah, but are not, the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, and then, of course, Abel. But when they were born, Lord have mercy, you're learning, Cain killed Abel. But God had a plan. He gave them Seth. Now the Lord Jesus could come through. Now the third mystery you're learning on the next level is Genesis 6, the fallen angels. Satan wanted to thwart Jesus from coming through Seth's lineage there. So he sent his fallen angels. They are called in the Hebrew Nephilim. In the Greek, they're called Raphim. And they refused to be born again. Born again means born from above. They refused to come through a woman's womb. They came on in their substance-like angelic bodies. And they went in unto the beautiful daughters of Eth Ha'adam. And the children were called giants. Boy, that's bad. How's Jesus going to come through this? But God said, I've got a plan. One man, his family, has not mixed with the giants. Everybody was mixed with the fallen angels. Everybody had mixed with the fallen angels. Everybody was a hybrid. So he found a man named Noah. And so God says, I'm going to wipe all of these out. And that was the reason of Noah's flood, to get rid of that hybrid. Understand? Now, from Noah's lineage came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And God says, I'm going to send my son through you. After a long period of time and a lot of trouble, a Virgin Mary had a baby, and it was the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. Mary's father, was of the tribe of Judah. Her mother was a tribe of Levi, the king and the priest line. So we know that Jesus came, and he's the Passover lamb, and he was actually forgiving all sin, even the original sin that started with Lucifer in the first earth age. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. Why the blood? The life's in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He arose from the dead, and then he began his church. And that's Peter and James and John in Jerusalem. And the church grew. And now here you are. You're the church. But you're on the third level. And now you learn, as a church, the order of the trumps. You're learning that there are seven trumps. A trump is an action. Most of them have already sounded. We are now in the fifth trump. It's a time of learning. Are you learning?
Yes.
Okay, you're in the fifth trump. But the sixth trump has also begun to sound. The sixth trump is the Antichrist who comes before Jesus, and the seventh trump is the Lord Jesus. Six comes before seven. Now, as you learn the order of the trumps, understand that we are in the labor pains right now of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation of the Antichrist. And thank God, in Mark 13, Jesus shortened it for the elect's sake. It was 7 years in Daniel. In Revelation 9, he shortened it to 5 months. Now, while you're in the sixth trump, you learned that the Antichrist, who's about to appear, the political system on the left, communist, socialist, Marxist, are preparing the way for him. He's going to call himself Christ, that his number is 666. On the third floor, you're learning that the first six is the first earth age. Lucifer said, "I will be God," but he was just a six, but he wanted to be seven. In the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the devil, that old serpent, was just a six, but he wanted to be seven, the tree of life. And when the Antichrist comes calling himself seven Christ, he's still just a six.
Yeah. Verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down asleep and fell down from the third loft.
Now, this is young. He's not a mature Christian. He didn't go into the room. He wasn't totally committed. He knew he should be, but he still wanted his cupcakes and he wanted his toy trucks. Eutychus represents, in Matthew 25, I want all of you to go home and read it, there were 10 virgins, that's the whole church. 5 are wise, that's God's elect, 5 are foolish. While the bridegroom tarries, the 5 foolish virgins slumbered and slept. And at the midnight hour, the bridegroom came. But these 5 were asleep, and they fall off to the Antichrist, who is the devil, and the devil's name is death.
Amen.
Wake up. Yes. Walk up to the third level.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
At this time, I'd like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Great, great lesson today. Great lesson.
Great lesson. God's word is
Amen.
Great. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22.
Thank you, Scott. That is so beautiful. Great Scott. Great Scott stuff. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sherry.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But before I do, if anyone in here or out there in cyberspace, if you're not saved, we want you to be saved. I want you to live with me all eternity. Wouldn't you miss me if you had to go to the other place?
Oh, yes.
So let's get saved. Pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out in cyberspace who prayed that prayer, I invite you to call me and leave that message on my voicemail. You're always supposed to tell someone. The Bible says confession is made to salvation. So leave that message and I will rejoice with you. Now, let me pray for the sick. I feel led to pray for cancer. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I speak to cancer in the brain, be gone. Cancer in the eyes, left and right eyes, be gone. Cancer in the colon, be gone. Cancer in the left lung and right lung, be gone. Cancer in the jaws, be gone. Cancer in the neck, be gone. Cancer in the breast, be gone. Cancer in the kidneys, be gone. Cancer in the bladder, be gone. Cancer in the pancreas, be gone. Cancer in the liver, be gone. Cancer anywhere from the top of the heads of souls, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. You have no place here. And now, Father, I ask according to Malachi chapter 4, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, that the laser beams of light go in there where that cancer was, pour in the oil and wine and repair and restore. Let you live and not die. He restores health and cure to you. He heals you of all your wounds. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. Believe it and receive it. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell. And God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I especially love you because you love the God I love so much. And I can't wait until you and I get together next time is the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Woo!
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
God
of
bless
truth.
You. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America. Let there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that any more traitors around
around him, trying to pull another coup on him. Let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the Word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. Let all of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask you that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer, and I know you hear me always. And I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We lay Let me tell you about William. He's been fighting battles since day one. The doctor said his life was over, yeah, before it had begun. They said he'd never walk, but now he walks. They said he'd never talk, but now he talks. I guess you could say he's a living, breathing, walking miracle. And then there's Veronica with the sign in the second row. Said even cancer couldn't stop me from coming to your show. I guess I never thought we'd meet again, but the very next year we met again. I guess you could say she's a living, breathing, walking miracle. Oh, they're all around us everywhere we go. The proof that we should never give up hope. 'Cause we serve a God who turns impossible into living, breathing, walking miracles. This is for the fighter who's celebrating 6 months clean. For the marriage that was over but somehow got redeemed. Anyone who's been up against the odds just to find out there's a God who's making us all living, breathing, walking miracles. Oh, they're all around us everywhere we go. The proof that we should never give up hope. 'Cause we serve a God who turns impossible into living, breathing, walking miracles. Tell you about you, yeah, you. Do you know that you're amazing? A one in a million masterpiece that's in the making. You might think, not me, but every single breath that you breathe is saying you are a living, breathing, walking miracle. Yeah. Thank you.
and your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Home. I don't know where you eat your meals or where you talk on the phone. I don't know if you got a cook, a butler, or a maid. I don't know if you got a yard with a hammock in the shade. I don't know if you got some shelter, say a place to hide. I don't know if you live with friends and who you can confide. I don't know if you got a family, say a mom or dad. I don't know if you love it all, but I bet you wish you had. Come and go with me to my father's house. Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. It's my father's house. House. Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my father's house. A big, big house with lots and lots of room. It's my father's house.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
There are times in our experience when it looks like God said one thing and the opposite is taking place.
Dr. Tony Evans says while we're waiting for God to keep his promises, things sometimes get worse before they get better.
And it is during those times all of us question how real this thing is.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Even when all our Christian experience is telling us that God keeps his promises, our confidence can get shaken when it looks like he's doing just the opposite. Today, Dr. Evans will tell us the story of a man in that very